you do chesed for him, but he's it's a free scholar in residence when he comes to the Shabbos to have the Talmud Chacham of his stature and his depth address our community every year is a phenomenal thing for our community, and so it's a great pleasure to be here. I always say every time I come to Eretz Yisrael that Bli Neder, one time I'm going to make it here. So Baruch Hashem, I had a few hours to spare this morning. And thank you for inviting me. How long do we have? What's the...
You can go if you want. Make sure that one.
The stomach will finish before one. Okay, we're not going to go through it. Don't be scared by the Mar Makamos. This is a shiur I gave a long time ago, a series of shiurim that I gave a long time ago. I heard you learning Yivamah, so Rav David asked me to speak about Asei Doch Halos Asei. So it happens to be I have a brother who's a big Talmud Chacham. I just pretend to be one, but my brother is a real Talmud Chacham. Someone here actually learned with my brother, and he wrote a beautiful sefer called Nasiach B'chukecha. And the sefer revolves around klalim relating to mitzvahs, meaning he has a chapter on Asei Doch Halos Asei, Arsugya. He has a chapter on Chaviv Mitzvah B'Shaitas, using Makdim of the Mitzvahs, any klal you can think of relating to a mitzvah, he's got a chapter on. Very, very beautiful sefer. So the most of what I'm going to say this morning comes directly from the sefer Nasiach B'Chukecha. What I want to discuss, I assume you're learning Yevamos, you probably discussed Asei Doch Halos Asei a lot, so I want to focus on one little prat, the prat of Be'idna in Asei Doch Halos Asei. The Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, it's in Mar Makam number 2 in the packets over here. The Gemara at the end of that source tells us the klal says Heichamim Dasei Dochelos Asei. When do we say Dasi Asei V'Dochelos Asei that an Asei is going to come and push off a Los Asei? Could go on Mila B'Tzaras, like a situation where you have to do a Bris Mila, but on the Makam Amila we have a Mayul in the room also. That in the Makam Amila there's a Negat Tzaras and there's Nisus Araisa. You're not allowed to cut off a Negat Tzaras, but at the same time there's a Mitzvah. They have to do Mila. So that's when Inami Tzitzis for Klayim. The other classic example is if you want to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Tzitzis, but it's Shatnis. You have a linen garment that requires the wool, and that's going to be an Isser of Shatnis. So we say that the mitzvah of tzitzis overpowers the Isser of Shatnis. But those are the examples. The reason that works is the be'idna de mis'aker lav kamokim asei. At the very moment that you're violating the los asei, that you're doing the avera, you're also doing the mitzvah. The very moment you're cutting away the tzaras, you're also doing the mitzvah of mila. The very moment you're wearing the tzitzis, being mekayim mitzvah tzitzis, you're violating the yisur klayim, you're also fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzis. But whenever you're going to violate a lav and the asei isn't there yet, the assay is only going to come later, then we don't say assay dochalos assay. So a partial question, why is that the case? Why is it that you need be'idna? That you're only going to say that the assay will overpower the los assay when it's at the same time. But if the assay is only going to come later, then it's not good. Then we don't allow you to violate a los assay in order to fulfill an assay later. Not only do we say that we won't apply assay dochalos assay, we have a name for that. When you violate an avera in order to later do an assay, that's called the mitzvah abab avera. If I want to fulfill the mitzvah of dalad minim, so I see that I don't have any money in my pocket, but the store has beautiful dalad minim. So I just go in and I steal my dalad minim, and then I do the mitzvah later on. So that's not okay. We don't say asei dochalose, let the asei of dalad minim be dochalose asei of stealing, right? So we say no, you can't do that. That's not asei dochalose. That's called mitzvah abab avera. That's absolutely asur to do. So what's the gather? Why is it that there's a difference between mitzvah abab avera versus asei dochalose asei? Meaning, when do you apply which klal? So the Gemara seems to be giving us the rule. The answer is, whenever it's be'idna, whenever at the very moment you're violating the los asei, you're also going to be doing the mitzvah, that's good. Whenever it's not at the same moment, then it's no good. Whenever you're going to violate the avera, and then only later do the asei, then it's a mitzvah of avera, then it's no good. So the shaila is why? What does be'idna do for me that takes something that would have been a mitzvah of avera, and instead makes it into a asei dochalos asei? So perhaps in order to, it's just kedai to understand a little bit what asei dochalos asei. I don't know how much of the sugi you've done, how much you haven't done. I'm just gonna say. But the there's a famous Ramban al Torah. Probably if you had to make a top 10 Ramban al Torahs, you know the Ramban al Torah in asei dochalos asei. Ramban writes that there's two ways of relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's yira and there's ava, and an asei represents ava. The los asei represents yira. To not do that which is asur is a sense is usually motivated by yira shemayim, whereas doing good, doing positive for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, doing mitzvah is usually motivated by Avas Hashem, and the Ramban writes, that's why Aseh Docholos Aseh, because Ava is a higher level than Yira, so Ava is more important than Yira, so whenever you have a clash between Ava and Yira, between Aseh and Los Aseh, the Aseh is going to win. That's why the Ramban writes, very interesting, we say, Ein Aseh Docholos Aseh Sheba Mikdash. In the Beis Hamikdash, all bets are off. All of a sudden, Aseh is not Docholos Aseh. Why do we say, Ein Aseh Docholos Aseh Sheba Mikdash? As Mikdash I Tirau. In the Mikdash is a special emphasis on Yira. As much as there's Av is a higher level, a higher Madrega than Yira in general, in the Mikdash, we have a higher emphasis on Yira. The Mikdash, you have to have a certain awe of the Makam. You can't get too comfortable in the Mikdash. In Yeshiva Bazar El Malchus Pitzov Bulvad, there's a whole sense of Yira that has to be experienced in the Beis HaMikdash. But generally speaking, we assume that the Aseh is more powerful than the Los Aseh. So why is it that it has to be Be'idna? Why can't I steal the lulav? It's a violation of the Los Aseh to do the mitzvah. The mitzvah Aseh, that's my Ava. That will be to do the mitzvah later on. Why does the dafka have to be Be'idna? So I think the most pashut explanation that's normally given is that if it's not Be'idna, if it doesn't happen at the exact same time, you know what's very likely to happen? I might go and steal a lulav in order to do the mitzvah later on, and then I'll say, you know what? I'm not really so in the mood for the mitzvah. And I'll just leave the mitzvah aside. I'll do the Avera and not do the mitzvah. In which case, I'm going to be left with only bad. I'm not going to have any good. So Be'idna is the guarantee that at the very moment you're doing the Avera, there's also a mitzvah there. So the Aseh is going to be Docha Delos Aseh. But if I don't have any such guarantee, because I could do the Avera now, and then later on, maybe I will, maybe I won't. So you can't take chances like that. You can't play games like that. That L'chora is the most pashup shot in why you need Be'idna. But it may not be the only pshat. In fact, you could strongly question whether the Rishonim learned that way. Whether the Rishonim learned that was the reason for Be'idna, for the requirements of Be'idna. So what I want to analyze is really just one simple Machlokas Rishonim. And then maybe bring this back and see if maybe we could come to a different understanding of why you need Be'idna. There is a Tosos in Sechs Yevamos Dav Tzadi Amud Beis, Maramakam number 3. Tosos asks the following kasha. It says, "Im Tomer Sadin Betzitzes Hechi Havishay V'Alta Aseh." The Gemara. Let's give a little bit of background. The Gemara in Brachos has a sugya called Kavod HaBrios, the sugya about Kavod HaBrios, about when you're allowed to violate Averas for the sake of Kavod HaBrios. The Gemara has an expression that's a pretty well-known expression, that Kavod HaBrios is Docha Lo Saseh Shebetorah. It's a very easy expression to misunderstand, that Kavod HaBrios is Docha Lo Saseh in the Torah. Because you might understand that to mean that if you have an issue with Kavod HaBrios, which means basic human dignity, maintaining human dignity, that you can violate Averis in order to maintain human dignity. You can violate Allah Saseh Shabbatorah. If you actually read the Gemara says that you're allowed to violate Yisum Darais, it sounds like. But if you actually read the Gemara over there says, no, you can't really. Allah Saseh Shabbatorah means the love of Lo Sasur. The love of Lo Sasur is the love from where we learn that you have to listen to Dinim Derabbanan. So Kavod HaBrios is Docha Dinim Derabbanan. That's what some of the poskim, I think Tzitzel Yezer has a tshuva where he discusses someone who has a terrible allergy attack, whether he's allowed to take allergy medicine on Shabbos. So he says, yeah, because Kavod HaBrios is going to have a runny nose and watery eyes, and he's not going to be able to talk to people and communicate with people. He's going to be embarrassed. So maybe it's Docha the Losas, the Drabbanon of taking medicine on Shabbos. Okay, so that's the kind of example where you have a Kavod HaBrios Docha Los, but not Kavod HaBrios Docha in the Isser, a real bona fide Isser Daraisa, unless the Gemara says it's B'Shev V'Al Tasa. If the Yisr is violated passively by just sitting and doing nothing, then Kavod HaBrios is Docha Alo Saseh Shebetorah. If the violation, normally Alo Saseh, to violate Alo Saseh you have to be active. How do I violate Alo Saseh of eating Chazer Treif? By taking it in my mouth and eating Chazer Treif. But if you violate it passively, just by doing nothing, there's such a verse that you can violate B'Shevi Al Tasa. No, sir. There's Nisi, you're not allowed to leave a carbon past its man. So by just not doing anything, I just leave it alone, leave the buster of the carbon past its man, so I violate the Lo Saseh, passively, totally passively. So Gemara discusses the following situation, very intriguing case. So you're walking down the street, and you look in your suit, and you realize, I have a nice little shotness tag, it says, non-shotness, guaranteed, right? So, let's say you're walking down the street, and you realize there's no shotness tag, and then you look at the brand name, and it's a brand name that you know is always shotness. And then you look at whatever, you look at the tag and it says 50% wool, 50% linen, and it's, you know, whatever, you have all the Shatnez Doraisa, you know that you're wearing Shatnez Doraisa. So Gemara discusses, what do you do in that situation? The Gemara talks about that you have to remove your clothing in public because you're violating an Isser of Shatnez. You think it's so not Lemaisa. I have a chaver whose wife went to shul on Yontif once, and the Rebbetzin comes over to her, and the Rebbetzin of the shul says, I love your skirt, did you get it at, I don't know, whatever moments, and she says, yeah, well, you know, I bought the same skirt there and it had shatness. Did you get yours checked? No, I didn't think to get it checked. So it was a mamish halacha l'maisa. Maybe for a woman it's different, but mamish halacha l'maisa. She had a shatness, and you have a situation. We have shatness versus kavod abriyah. So the Gemara discusses, do you have to remove your clothing when you find shatness? So what does it hinge on? Is wearing shatness, when you're already wearing it, is it shevi al taseh? Is it passive, or is it kumvaseh? Is it considered an act of violation? So the Gemara over there says that it's not considered shevi al taseh. It's considered kumvaseh. Every moment you're wearing it, apparently, is considered actively violating an Isser. There are two gifsos in the Gemara. What if you don't realize shatness on yourself? There's a Rush in the Rambam, I don't want to get too involved, but there's if you see shatness on somebody else. Right? This case, let's say you're the Rebbetzin in this case. So is it Shevi Altaseh to not say anything? That would definitely be Shevi Altaseh to not say anything. The Yehuda has an unbelievable tshuva in Madura Kamas in Lamed Hay, where he discusses the Gisos and Abba Midrash, but again, that's a little bit far afield. So let's stick over here. So the Gemara says in Brachos that to wear shatness is considered kumbiyaseh, it's considered an active violation. And yet, the Gemara Menachos assumes that wearing tzitzis is Shevi Altaseh. That when you're being kind in the midst of tzitzis, if you're wearing the clothing already, so that's shevi al taseh. So Frektai says, wait a second, what's going on here? It's both the same act. You're wearing something. If I put on a clothing that a bag of dal kantus that happens to have shatness in it, so is it? And I'm already wearing it. So is it considered shevi al taseh, or is it considered a kumvaseh? Which is it? How can you say that the tzitzis that's kumvaseh, but the shatness that's shevi al taseh? So Tosfos is bothered by that. He doesn't understand. Va'omer Rav, you look on the bottom line over there in source number 3 in the Tosfos Yavamos. The shiny claim the ikar ha'iser b'shas levisha shalavash be'iser. When it comes to shatness, the ikar iser is when you wear it, when you put it on, and that's active. When you put something on, it's active. Avulkan lo mischayev adachar shenis atev kideprishes. But tzitzis, you only become chayev in tzitzis if you wear a beggar of dal kanfas after you're ready misatef in it. Not when you're putting on, once it's ready on you. That's when the chiv tzitzis kicks in. So it's a matter of milliseconds over here. But the issur of shatness comes while you're still being active. The violation of shatness while you're still actively putting it on. The mitzvah of tzitzis is only once it's already on you. So the mitzvah of tzitzis is shevi al taseh because it's already on you. The Yisr of Shatness is Kumbaseh because the Yisr of Shatness is when you actively put it on you. That's the Ha'ara, that's the Chiddush that Tosfos suggests. That a Begad of Dal Kafus is not Chayv and Tzitzis until it's already on you. It happens to be, if you don't have a Begad of Dal Kafus, there's no Chayv and Tzitzis. Right? There's a Machlokas in the Gemara, whether it's Chavas Gavra or Chavas Mana, whether Tzitzis is a Chayv on each person to wear Tzitzis or a Chayv on the Begad. Let's say I have a Begad of Dal Kafus in my house that I'm not wearing right now. So do I need to make sure that there are tzitzis on it? So Tosfos in a couple of places in Shas actually says that you don't have to go out of your way to buy a beggar of dal kanfos if it's not the minhag for people to already wear a beggar of dal kanfos. But we assume not that way. We assume, like the Pashup Shah in the Gemara Menachos, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he sees that you don't go out of your way to put on tzitzis, to get yourself a beggar of dal kanfos, put on tzitzis, it's not that you're in violation of anything, but that HaKadosh Baruch Hu be idan ritcha, when he's anyway angry, will take it out on, you know, will take it out on a person who doesn't go out of his way to wear tzitzis. So that's why we're makvid to dafka wear tzitzis. But let's say you have a beged in your house that has dal kanfos, so we generally assume that the chiyuv is only when you're actually wearing it. So most of the time, you're not going to have, the only time we buy a beged dal kanfos is if there's tzitzis on it. I just had a shayla recently, though. Someone asked me, I never even thought of it. There's something called, I don't know if you guys are familiar with all the new fads in America. There's something called a snuggie. Anyone ever hear of this? There's a big problem that humanity had that when you're trying to read under a blanket, when you're trying to be cozy under a blanket and you want to read a book, that you don't have access to your hands if you're really under the blanket, so you're not going to be able to turn the pages in the book. So it's a major problem. So Chachamim came up with a beautiful solution. They took a blanket and they put sleeves in it. So if you could imagine a blanket that has sleeves, you could stick your hands through the sleeves, and this way the blanket is all the way up to your neck and you're very cozy and you could read a book that way with wearing this blanket with sleeves in it. So one of my Talmidim just asked me a couple of weeks ago, the Chayv and Tzitzis, Dalit Kansas, you're wearing it, it's sleeves. The Chayv and Tzitzis. Why is a blanket not Chayv and Tzitzis a good kasha? But we assume blanket's not Chayv and Tzitzis. Dalit Kansas, even though that's Dalit, we assume it's Halah, it's not Levisha, whatever, we assume it's not Chayv and Tzitzis. But this, Mamish Lovish, you're wearing the Chayv and Tzitzis. So I asked my Rabbi Rav Shechter, he thought, Vada, yes. First he didn't know what it was. He said, what are you talking about? So I had to show him. We had to bring him in one. And he said, yeah, it looks like a giant flat sweatshirt. I don't know what it looks like. It looks very odd, actually. But it's quite comfortable. So if you have one in your house, so maybe... So anyway, that would be the Shita Chavos Mana. But let's stick with the Yisod of you. The Yisod also suggests is that the Chiv Tzitzis only comes later. The Isser of Shatnes is earlier. That's when you're doing the Maisa. The Mitzvah Tzitzis is only once you're ready Nisati from the Tzitzis. So fret the Shagasariya is Gavaldi Kukasha. Shagasariya, as you know, he wrote a few svarim called Turei Aven on the Masechtas, and Shagasariya was the magnum opus. That was his, they're all phenomenal. Shagasariya was not one who was particularly afraid to argue with Rishonim. That was his style. Some of the Achronim were very afraid to argue with Rishonim. Shagasariya, legend has it, I don't know if it's true, it doesn't sound true, that the Shagasariya was Nifter reaching a book from the bookshelf, reaching for a sefer, and all the Rishonim came. The whole bookshelf came up, and all the Rishonim came and got him. But I don't know. But that's the mice that they say. I don't know. But Shagzari raises the following kashi. He says, okay, what's the classic example of Asei Dochelos Asei? So we just saw the Gemara on Shabbos. Classic example is Mila B'Tzaras, and the other classic example is Shatnes and Tzitzis, at the Asei Dochelos Asei. But the Gemara on Shabbos says you need Be'idna. In order for Asei to be Dochelos Asei, the mitzvah Asei has to be happening at the exact same moment that you're violating the Los Asei. If you violate the Los Asei and you've not yet done the mitzvah Asei, then we're not going to say Asei Dochelos Asei. Then it's going to be a mitzvah Babavera, then it's no good. In fact, the Shagazari, if Tais is correct, that you violate the love of Shatnes first at the Shas Levisha when you're putting it on, and you only get the mitzvah of Tzitzis once it's already on, it's not the Idna. You're violating the Avera before you're doing the mitzvah. And that's no good. You can't say Asei Dochelos Asei when you do the Aver before you do the mitzvah. When you do the Aver, the mitzvah has to be there already. If Taisus is correct, that the mitzvah only comes later, how could we say Asei Dochelos Asei? Very, very strong kasha. So, so Shagazari in the Sefer Turei Aven and Chagiga, I'm not going to read everything inside because, again, I don't want to take up more of your time than I have to. I'm sure you have better things to be doing than listening to me. But the Turei Aven and Chagiga, and Daf Beis writes as follows. I'm sorry? Yeah, but you violated the Avera before the Chiyuv kicked in. I mean, you violated the Avera of Shatnes, yeah, as you're doing the Maisa, and that's before the Chiyuv of Tzitzis starts. Chiyuv of Tzitzis is only once you're already wrapped in it.
Putting on the bigger, then it's already got the Tzitzis on.
Yeah, let's say it already has the Tzitzis on and it already has the Shatnes.
You're becoming Chiyuv and then you're putting it on.
Yeah.
So, meaning, you have a beggar that has shatnes and sittis on it, and as you're putting it on, you're violating the avera already, and you don't get the mitzvah until you're chayiv in the mitzvah, which is once it's already on you. So that's the kasha of the Shagasariya. So in Turei Aven, in Chagiga, I take off my watch, it's still on American time, so it's 3:10 a.m. So the Turei Aven in Chagiga suggests, do I still have to 1 o'clock? Even if the Turei Aven in Chagiga writes that, it says as follows, that any time you have a Hechsher mitzvah that's absolutely necessary in order to be able to do the mitzvah, so that counts already as part of the mitzvah. Meaning, in terms of Be'idna, that's good enough to count as part of the mitzvah. In order to do the mitzvah of tzitzis, I need to put on the clothes. I need to put on the beged first. I can't do the mitzvah of tzitzis without putting on the beged. There's no way I can get the mitzvah of tzitzis without putting on the beged. Granted, I'm not chayiv in the mitzvah of tzitzis until the beged's already on, but the beged's not going to be on unless I put it on. So the hechsher mitzvah of putting it on, the preparation that I need to do to put on the beged, that's it's critical. You can't do the mitzvah without it. since that hechsher comes bi'idna, comes at the same exact time that you're violating the law, that's good enough. That's bi'idna. That's good enough. That's the Turiyevan suggestion. What the Turiyevan is suggesting is that hechsher mitzvah rises to the level of a mitzvah. There is a major discussion that Netziv has, I don't have it in the Maror Makom, Netziv has in his commentary in the She'iltos. Netziv wrote on everything. One of the great things about the Netziv is that there was nothing that he didn't write on. Not only did he write, everyone wrote a sefer on Shas and a sefer on Chumash, and Netziv did that, but then he also decided to write a sefer on the Sifri and a sefer on the She'iltos. No one even let the people learn the She'iltos so that they can learn the Netziv now. So the Netziv, in his parish on the She'iltos, Netziv says, has a whole deal about, a whole discussion about how seriously to take a hechsher mitzvah, meaning, I'll just give you the basic chiddush he suggests, that there are different types of hechsher mitzvah. Sometimes you have a hechsher mitzvah that you just need to do it to prepare for a mitzvah. Sometimes I need to, if I'm going to blow shofar, so I need to make sure that I bring the shofar to shul to blow shofar. It's a hechsher mitzvah, I just need to make sure, I need to take care of it in order to do the mitzvah. But sometimes you have a hechsher mitzvah where the Torah itself tells me to do the hechsher mitzvah. Not the mitzvah, but the Torah tells me to do that. Gedilim tasavacha. Gedilim tasavacha is the mitzvah to make tzitzis. There's no mitzvah to make tzitzis. There's a mitzvah to wear tzitzis. But the Torah says, make tzitzis. So if the Torah says, make tzitzis, that's what the Netziv calls a hechsher mitzvah, ksuvu b'kra. It's a hechsher mitzvah that says in Chumash, this hechsher mitzvah. Or, chag ha-sukos tasavacha shivas yamim. Again, tasavacha, you should make sukkah. We didn't make sukkah. The mitzvah is to sit. The mitzvah is not to sit. The sukkah's teshu is to live in sukkah. We mistranslated a sits on the mitzvah is to live in sukkah. Right? Teshu came to do it, to live in a sukkah. The mitzvah is not to build a sukkah. But it's a hechsher mitzvah ksuva b'kra. So Netziv suggests that anytime you have a hechsher mitzvah ksuva b'kra, where the chumish tells me a hechsher mitzvah, that hechsher mitzvah rises to the level to almost like a mitzvah status. Almost like a mitzvah status. For instance, a lot of the rules that my brother discusses in the Sefer, a lot of the rules that relate to mitzvahs will relate to hechsher mitzvah ksuva b'kra. Like, there's a rule in mitzvah bo yosem yibishlucha, that when you do a mitzvah, we learn from the Mishnah Kiddushin. Right? The Mishnah Kiddushin says that you should be mekadesh nisha, that it's kosher to be mekadesh nisha bo u'bishlucha. You can be mekadesh nisha yourself, or if you don't want to show up to your own wedding, not advised, but if you don't want to show up to your own wedding, you could send a shaliach, and he'll be Mekadish the Isha for you. So the Gemara says, why bo and then bishlucha? Because mitzvah bo, yosemi bishlucha. Better do you do it yourself than to send a shliach. So certainly a mitzvah, if I have my own mitzvah, granted I could do it with a shliach, better for me to do the mitzvah myself rather than to send a shliach. Says the Netziv, it's also true of the hechsher mitzvah ksuva b'kra. Unbelievable chiddush. A hechsher mitzvah, I would think, who cares if I bring the shofar to shul, someone else brings the shofar to shul? Doesn't matter. As long as it's there, I'll do the mitzvah. Fine. But says in the Tziv, those hechsher mitzvahs that are ksuv b'krat, that are actually explicit in the Chumash, mitzvah bo yosem yibishlucha. It would turn out, there's a big business in a lot of teenagers in America have, I assume that goes on here also, to build people sukkahs for them. They charge in the five towns, they charge an arm and a leg, and they'll build you a sukkah for you. So for whatever it is, the shaila is, should you pay for someone else to build your sukkah, make a shliach to build your sukkah, or build the sukkah yourself? So mitzvah bo yosem yishlucha. The mitzvah is correct. You should do it yourself. If you can't, so at least let them just build the walls, and you'll roll out, put up the skach or something. Do that. That's also called mitzvah yosem. Making tzitzis. If you know how to tie tzitzis, mitzvah bo yosem yishlucha. So the hechsher mitzvah ksuv b'kra. Gedilim tasalucha. The concept. What? Is it shayach shlichus to do the hechsher mitzvah? No, to do the mitzvah of tzitzis is not shayach shlichus. But the hechsher mitzvah, why not? Let someone else make your tzitzis for you.
That
you can't be yotzei tzitzis if someone else made the tzitzis. The hechsher mitzvah isn't the mitzvah shabugufa. Only the mitzvah of tzitzis, I think, is the mitzvah shabugufa. There's a whole discussion when shlichus is shaykh or not. Okay, well, that's also the same as kutzeis and tzitzis rid. Okay, but anyway, let's get back to us. So, says the Turiyah then, when the hechsher mitzvah is nesa, you can't get to this mitzvah unless you do the hechsher mitzvah. Then be'idna is only that it has to be at the same time as the hechsher mitzvah. It doesn't have to be the same time as the mitzvah. Let's go back to our understanding of why you need be'idna. What do I need be'idna for? So we said, I need be'idna because I might violate the avera and then never get to do the mitzvah. And then forget to do the mitzvah, or avoid doing the mitzvah, or not do the mitzvah. If that's the case, then why is it good enough to have the idin over the heksher? Granted, the heksher is necessary for the mitzvah, but don't I still have the same danger? That if I do the aveira at the same time that I'm doing a heksher mitzvah, aren't I running into trouble because I might do the aveira and the heksher mitzvah and then not do the mitzvah? It's shayach to build a sukkah and not sit in it. It's shayach to tie tzitzis and not wear it. It's very possible the guy's going to do the aveira and be idna at the same time that he's doing a heksher mitzvah, and then he's never going to do the mitzvah. So the truth is, in the tzitzis and shatnas case, it's not really so shy, because once you do the levisha, mele, the second after you do the levisha, you're misati. You're already wrapped in the tzitzis. But there are other cases where it would certainly be shy. Maybe we'll discuss one or two cases. For instance, there's a Gemara in Bava Metzia. Gemara discusses, what if there's a mitzvah in the Torah called Hashabbos Aveda. So the Torah tells us that if you see an Aveda, you shouldn't hide from it. You shouldn't pretend not to see it. You should go pick it up and do the mitzvah of Hashabbos Aveda. So the Gemara discusses, what if the Aveda is in a Beis HaKvaros and you happen to be a Kohen? So you're a Kohen walking by the Beis HaKvaros and you see an Aveda in the Beis HaKvaros. So should you do Hashabbos Aveda? Or, he says, the other exception the Gemara discusses is Zakin Vein Lefi Kvodo, which is a different exception. Meaning, if let's say, you see Barbie doll clothing or something on the street, then you're a big Rosh Yeshiva, so to walk around with little Barbie doll clothing is probably not so coveted, so then you don't have to do Mitzvah Hashabbos Aveda, something like that, Zakin Vein Lefi Kvodo. But let's discuss this concept of you're a Kohen, and you see the Aveda in the cemetery. So what do you do? So says the Gemara, you don't have to do Hashabbos Aveda. Why? Says Gemara, well, it's pashut. Hay asei, v'hay los asei v'asei. V'lo af yasei, v'dach yas los asei v'asei. The isser of a Kohen becoming tamei is not just the los asei, it's a los asei and an asei. It's a los asei that he's not allowed to become tamei, and an asei that he has to be kadosh. So the Kohen going into the Beis HaKvaros would be a violation of both the los asei and an asei. But doing Hashabbos Aveda is only a mitzvah asei. So we don't say asei doch los asei, because it's not just an asei versus a los asei, it's an asei versus a los asei ve'asei. That's why he's not going to have to do Hashabbos Aveda. That's the Gemara's suggestion. The implication is that let's say there was no mitzvah asei of a Kohen remaining tahor, remaining kadosh. Let's say all there was a los asei. The implication is that he would have to do Hashabbos Aveda. That the mitzvah saseh of Hashabbos Aveda would give him license to go into the cemetery, be metame himself, and do the mitzvah of Hashabbos Aveda. That's the implication of the Gemara. The only reason we don't say it is because becoming tame is an asay and a lo saseh. But had becoming tame only been a lo saseh, so then he would be asay doch lo saseh. When does the coin become tame? In this scenario, when does he become tame? The second he walks into the cemetery, the second he walks over the first kever, he becomes tame, right? When does he do the mitzvah of Hashabbos Aveda? Once he picks up the aveda, he's doing the mitzvah of Hashabbos Aveda. Great. Even before he actually returns it, he's already osing the mitzvah of Hashabbos Aveda. That's already a partial kiyum mitzvah. Every moment that he's guarding it and watching it and protecting it is a kiyum mitzvah. It's called Prutzit Rav Yosef, that he's even going to be called osing the mitzvah, you know, for every moment that he's taking care of it. But before he does anything, before he picks it up, he hasn't. Where's the be'idna? It's not be'idna over here. It's not at the same time. How could we assume that the assay would be docha the los assay? Again, the Gemara says he doesn't have to do Hashabbos Aveda but that's for a side reason. That's because becoming tamei is a los assay ve'assay. But had it only been a los assay, the Gemara's implication is he would have to do Hashabbos Aveda, but where's the be'idna?
The first verse in Yavanna says that
Hashem
mitzvah is like a mitzvah.
Right. So this is the Turi Evin is taking that idea and saying Hashem mitzvah is like a mitzvah, even in regards to Asei Dochalos Asei. So this is a raya that Turi Evin has. He says, this Gemara is exactly the point. This Gemara is exactly a raya to his idea. The only way he's going to get to that Aveda is by going into the cemetery. They hadn't yet come up in the times of the Gemara with the thing that the Chabadniks by the Rebbe's Kever came up with going in a box to figure out a way. I don't know if you know about this. when they go to the Eichel, the Kohanim go and they have like a special box that somehow causes the tumah. I don't know. It's a very complicated sugi. I don't know if they have it all cheshbon. The person that Rav Sher Shlita stays at when he comes to my community, Eric Cohn, he was once there. I think the day he got married, they brought him. Someone brought him there, and they asked him, "Do you want to go?" He's Cohn. His name is a Cohen. They asked him, "Do you want to go in a box?" He says, "If I go into a cemetery in a box, it's not going to be it's not going to be on my wedding day." So, but they hadn't yet come up with that eight, so they assumed that if you go into a cemetery, you're actually going to become tamei, right? So that's the normal assumption. That's exactly right. It's my idea. The Hechsher Mitzvah over here is going into the cemetery. Hechsher Mitzvah, to say, you don't need the mitzvah happening at the same time as the Los Asay. Even if a Hechsher Mitzvah, which is going to be a necessary component of the mitzvah, is happening at the same time as the Los Asay, that's good enough. Now, over here, you could theoretically come up with a case where the guy will go into the cemetery, intending to do a Shavuot Aveda, then have a second thought and say, it's going to be a big hassle, I don't know if I'm ever going to find the person, and I'll just walk away. And walk away and not do it. Right? Over here you could have a person do the Hechsher Mitzvah, do the Aveira, and never end up doing the Mitzvah. If the whole lumdus of Be'idna, the whole Svara that you need Be'idna, is that because we're afraid that if you do the Aveira first and then the Mitzvah, you might back out and never do the Mitzvah, well then why is this good enough? Why is the Be'idna of the Hechsher Mitzvah good enough? A very very difficult point.
But over there it's two Averis. Because you're also doing a Salanta.
You're also doing a Salanta, that's correct. Yeah. Let's assume for a moment that there's no Isra say, it's just a mitzvah say. I mean, we're assuming for the moment that you knock out all the other details about both Tumah, which happens to be an Asay also, and Hashavas Aveda. But Ein Achinami.
That he doesn't have the mitzvah.
So he's saying you're not getting the mitzvah sase only when you pick it up. You're getting the mitzvah sase right away when you don't hide from it. When you don't do the salanta, very good. That could very well be. But Turi Evan thinks this is a riot. There's a riot to his idea about Hechsher Mitzvah, but very good. It may not.
You do have the Zerach on the Gemara that you brought here.
Yeah.
On the base, but the whole, he says on the Taras of the Milas, the Shi Tochein, Shulay Kaim is the Esse. That's the first
Pashup Shah. Binah, yeah. That's definitely the Pashup Shah of Binah. I think that's.
You'd have to say something else.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. That's, I think, the Pashup Shah. The Gemara in Zvachim discusses whether there's a mitzvah d'oraisa tira karban Pesach. When you're able to bring karban Pesach, mitzvah d'oraisa tira karban Pesach, it's different than the mitzvah of achila of other kachim. Other kachim is a mitzvah shiyehe ne'echal. Beis Levi has a truth about this where he explains very carefully that other mitzvah, other karbanos, is a mitzvah that you make sure it gets eaten so that it doesn't become nosa. So it has to get eaten. Karban Pesach is a mitzvah sachila. The mitzvah sachila, midaraisa, nafkamin is that you have to eat a kazayis. Let's say I have another carbon, carbon shlamim, whatever. I divide it up into a bunch of teeny tiny pieces and give it to, and kohanim, give it to whoever. Give it to whoever's going to eat it, and everyone gets just a teeny piece that's less than a kazayis. So that's fine. From Pesach, you can't do that. From Pesach, everyone needs to eat because it's mitzvah sachila. Nowadays, the only mitzvah sachila we have left. We don't have mitzvah sachila's kachim, we don't have mitzvah sachila's carbon anymore. We only have matzah. I think some sofer writes in the tshuva. We better take advantage of it because it's our only mitzvah sachila. It's the only time we have a mitzvah sachila. Okay. But midaraisa. Marar is the only midarabanu bizman as that. And, simchus yantiv, the mitzvah's in the simcha, it's not in the achila's process. So you have to come up with terutzim for every other mitzvah sachila. But there is an issur. Etzem lo sishkruva, that you're not allowed to break a bone in the Karban Pesach. So there's a certain piece of meat you can only get to if you're going to break a bone. So what do you say? You want to say? Can you say? I say docha lo sasei. The mitzvah sachila should be docha lo sasei etzem lo sishkruva, that not allowed to break a bone. So the Gemara discusses in Maseches Zvachim. Taisus discusses in Maseches Zvachim. The Taisus raises the question. I think I have it in here somewhere. maybe not. Okay. So this raises the question, Masechus Vachim, how we could even have a Hava Mina that the mitzvah Achilas Pesach would be Docha. The Gemara is actually, you can't do it. You're not allowed to break a bone. But how would we even have a Hava Mina that the mitzvah Achilas Pesach would be Docha, the Losasei of Shviras Etzem, of breaking a bone? It's not the Idna. You break the bone first and then you get to the meat. You get to the marrow or the meat or whatever you're trying to get to. So how could you even have such a Hava Mina? So says the Turiya, then, according to what I say, it's very good. Because as long as the Hechsher mitzvah, which is necessary to do that mitzvah, you need to break the bone to get to the meat. So as long as the Hechsher mitzvah is at the same time as the Avera, that's good enough. You don't need the Avera. And again, it's totally shaykh. And over here, you don't have the same thing. It's totally shaykh. You could break the bone and then say, man, not hungry. And leave it alone. In which case, you have done the Avera at the same time that you were doing a necessary Hechsher mitzvah, but then you never did the mitzvah. So that's a difficult that happens to be. You're not allowed to break the bone anyway for other reasons. So, but the fact that the Gemara even has such a Hava Mina. So Turiyavin very often is associated with the Nemuka Yosef in Bamitzia. Nemuka Yosef in Bamitzia says a very similar idea to Turiyavin, but I think it's a little bit different. He doesn't say that you need Be'idna. Again, let's go back to the Shagazari's Kasha. How could it be that Yasei Docha Lo Sei, I'm wearing Shatnes and Tzitzis, they can say Tzitzis Docha Lo Sei, I do the Aveir of Shatnes before I do the Mitzvah Tzitzis. So the Mekhi Yosef is a slightly different Yisod. The Mekhi Yosef suggests that so long as you're Osek Begufa Shel Mitzvah, as long as you're involved in what he calls Begufa Shel Mitzvah, then that's good enough. Not Hechsher Mitzvah. He calls it Gufa Shel Mitzvah. Probably he would define it a little bit differently than Hechsher Mitzvah. Hechsher Mitzvah doesn't have to actually be the Mitzvah itself. It's that I'm Osek in the Maisa, Gufa Shel Mitzvah, the way I understand it is, this Maisa itself is going to be part of my Maisa Mitzvah. Let's put it this way. Generally speaking, a Maisa Mitzvah and a Kiyama Mitzvah are the same thing. They come together. Usually. When I do the mitzvah of picking up Dalad Minim, I'm mekayim the mitzvah also. Every once in a while, though, you'll have a mitzvah mitzvah, and the kiyum only comes later. I do mitzvah mitzvah now, but there's no kiyum yet. The kiyum is only going to come later on. The way I understand this Nemuka Yosef is that as long as I'm doing my mitzvah mitzvah at the same time, what's the mitzvah mitzvah of tzitzis? What's the mitzvah mitzvah? It's the chor putting on tzitzis, right? The Kiyuma Mitzvah, the Taisa taught us, is only when I'm ready in the Sates. So there's a little bit of a delay between the Mitzvah and the Kiyuma. Why do I make a bracha? When do you make a bracha on Tzitzis? On Talis. You make a bracha on Talis, you hold the Talis. I was just teaching someone for the first time. We have a guy who hangs around the yeshiva sometimes, who's doing our PR, actually making a brochure for us, and he never put on Talis in Tefillin. We got on Talis in Tefillin, and we told him. So I was just teaching someone to put on Talis. Very hard for someone who never did it before. It's not so easy. So he said, hold up the talus over here, right before you put it on, and that's when you make the bracha. Brachas and birchas and mitzvah are supposed to always be made over las yasan, not over the over, right before you get the mitzvah, right? Now, if Tosfos is correct, why do we make the bracha before we put it on? We should make the bracha right after we put it on, right? Meaning the kiyuma mitzvah comes after you're ready in the sate. So shouldn't you make the bracha? Why not while I'm wrapping myself? While I'm doing the Atifa? It's only once I'm misatif that the Kiyum Mitzvah comes. What? I don't know. You're supposed to stand. They said it's in Chesed. You're supposed to stand for Birchas Mitzvah. I don't know. Why not? You shouldn't ruin your focus, but this is the Mitzvah itself. I mean, it's going to help your focus probably. But the klal is, Rabbi writes in Sefer Eretz HaTzvi, that and it's pashut, I think, that a bracha is never made on, is generally masuka on a maisa mitzvah, not on a kima mitzvah. We make a bracha before we do a maisa mitzvah. Let's say Sfiras HaOmer. If you hold Sfiras HaOmer, it's one long mitzvah, right? Machlokes Rishonim, whether each night is a separate mitzvah or it's one long mitzvah. Why do I make 49 brachas? It's the greatest raya that it's 49 mitzvahs, not one mitzvah, right? I make 49 brachas every night. I make a new bracha. So why do I do that? No, because it's one mitzvah, but 49 maisim. There are 49 times you do a maisim mitzvah of counting. But it's all one mitzvah. A bracha is always on a maisim mitzvah. The maisim mitzvah of tzitzis is doing the atifa, is actually putting it on. The kiyuma mitzvah only comes later, right? the way I understand the Mukhe Yosef is, as long as you're doing part of the Maisa Mitzvah, even though you're not yet getting a Kiyuma Mitzvah, that's good enough for Aseh Docholo Sasei. That's good enough for, yeah, for Be'idna and Aseh Docholo Sasei. Doing the Maisa Mitzvah alone is good enough.
We have Musa, the Gufa Mitzvah, in the place of Tehri Bombs.
Yeah.
Of Kibura, with finding the Bezolos.
Yeah.
Shrita, Bashan, Shkoyti, Bashan. They also, Tehri says, until they actually, like the Shreem said, the Tachlis, the Gufa Mitzvah is the Ma'achilo, Ma'avishu, 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 that the actual making the challenge, when God says he wants food, that's also kibbutz, the kibbutz of kibbutz. That mitzvah is not the gufa mitzvah. The tachlis is not, I'm peeling potatoes.
Right, but you could argue that's part of the maisa mitzvah also.
It is kibbutz, the kibbutz.
Right.
That's why I said the gufa, when the nusach of the mitzvah is gufa.
See, kibbutz is a little tricky, right.
There's the gufa with the tachlis of the mitzvah, and then there's the amoisek in what is part of the long seder of Kibbutz is to go and make
Yeah, Kibbutz is a little tricky though, because the Gemara says in Kiddushin, right, that you can have someone who makes his father work and he's being Mekayimus of Kibbutz, because the king is drafting someone into the army or something, and the person works at a mill, he works a very hard job, I think the Gemara says. So he says, Dad, you work the hard backbreaking labor and I'll go get killed in the king's army, and that's also Kibbutz, even without any Maisa, just by holding your father back from and then the Gemara says he could be machil your father the most delicious delicacy and not be mekayim the mitzvah of kibbutz. The Gemara says, the father says, where did you get, how can you afford such delicious things? They, what do you care, old man, just tochen, you know, tchon v'achol, just grind it with your teeth and eat it, you know, just then it's no kibbutz. That's because it's part of attitudinal also. Kibbutz is a very tricky, but yeah, but they, when you're doing a maisa, yeah, it would seem that would be included. So it seems like this thing is slightly different. Try to wrap it up. One last example, and perhaps one last sheet in Rishonim. Tosfos and Bava Basra discuss the following case. It's a Mishnah Idios, really. It starts with Mishnah Idios. Let's go back to the beginning. Mishnah Idios there's a whole parak in Mesechta Idios. If you ever need to learn something for a Shloshim or a Yartzeit, I highly recommend Mesechta Idios, because they call them the Mesechta Ksuvos Shas Katan. Mesechta Ksuvos is beautiful. Mesechta Idios is Shas Katan, because it mamish takes you in Taras and Kodshim and Nashim and Nezika, everything. Why did the Cantor just pick a topic? Because Mesechta Idios was all learned in one day in Keren B'Yavne, when they said, Tein Yavne v'chachameha, and all the Chacham got together in Yavne, and they said, no, who remembers something that you think might be forgotten? So they were just shouting out from different corners of the Beis Medrash, I remember Shmai V'Avtalion said like this, and Hillel and Shammai said like this, and everyone, and all of Mesechta Idios was put together in one day. So Mesechta Idios has a whole perek about the times that you have Machlokes V'Shammai Beis Hillel, where Chazal Beis Hillel Lahoros Kedivrei Beis Shammai, that Beis Hillel changed their mind and they were molded to the Beis Shammai. That was part of the godless of the Beis Hillel, that they always listened. And that's what Gemara says, we pass my Beis Hillel because they always makdim in Divrei Beis Shammai L'Divreihem, that they always let the Beis Shammai speak first. What does it mean they let them speak first? They actually listened to what the Beis Shammai had to say. That's before they arrived at their own conclusion. They were very, very open-minded in terms of seeing the other perspective in general. That's why whenever you have a machlokas, just in machshav, it's good to know, whenever you have a machlokas, if one tzad never heard the other tzad, then their psak carries much less weight. That's why, perhaps one of the reasons why, if you have a Sanhedrin, let's say a Sanhedrin of Chaf Gimel, 23 judges, that all vote Lechova, it's not binding at all. The person is going to be Pater, because they never heard a counter-argument. If you never hear someone, if you never heard the guy who disagrees with you, you never heard what his Shita is, then your own Shita is not as strong. That's why about 500 years ago in Tzfat, there was a movement they actually restarted Smicha. We started giving smicha. The Rambam, Pirush Mishnayos and Sanhedrin, that says, you know, in order to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash, we're going to need musmachim, we're going to need a Sanhedrin to pass on all the shailas and to work everything out. How are we going to have musmachim? That all happens before Tchiyas HaMeisim. So, you know, generally we try not to cheshbon, we figure when it comes, right? But the Rambam says, it's a very strong kasha. How are you going to have anyone with smicha, not smicha like we have. Smicha like we have is not real smicha. The smicha that, you know, from Moshe Rabbeinu, Ish Mipi Ish. How are we going to have that? We don't have any musmachim around. So the Rambam has a chiddush that if Kol Chach V'Yisrael all get together and agree to give somebody smicha, that the smicha is going to be a binding smicha, it's going to be a valid smicha. And then once one person has it, he can then go give it to everybody else. So 500 years ago in Sfat, after the Spanish Inquisition, there were a bunch of Jews from Spain who felt that they had done things that they're chayv karis for, and they wanted to get malchus, because the chayav ikrisus shalaku are pater. If you get malchus when you chayav karis, you pater from the karis. So they went over to the chachamim of the time and they said, please give us malchus. They said, we can't, we don't have smicha. So get smicha. So they had to get together and they tried to reinstitute smicha. So the chacham in Tzfat got together, the chacham in Tzfat got together and they reinstituted smicha. So Beis Yosef had smicha, the Alshich had smicha, some big names. And then the chacham in Yerushalayim, Marlbach is Machlokes Marlbach Mari Beirav. And the Chacham in Yerushalayim got upset. They said, "Look, you want to reinstitute smicha? You know, you have to consult with us first." Rambam says you need Kol Chachmei Adar. And if you're going to tell me that Ruvo Kukula, you have Rov Chachmei Adar, that's good enough. But it's not good enough because Rov only matters if you listen to the other tzad. So granted, you're greater than us. The Chachmei Yerushalayim said we agree. The Chachmei Tzad are much greater than us. But you don't paskin like you unless you hear our tzad first. You have to hear what our side of the argument is. Anyway, it died out after a few generations. We don't have it anymore. It's lost again. So, and now, good luck getting everyone on the same page, too. But they have a whole discussion but when Beis Hillel is going to be Moshe Beis Shammai. So Gemara has one case where you have a Chatzi of Mishnah, a Chatzi of Chatzi Ben Chorin. Two guys get together and they buy a slave. And they buy an Eved Kanani. One of them frees the Eved Kanani. The other one doesn't. So now this Eved Kanani is a Chatzi of Chatzi Ben Chorin. He's half-half. So what do you do? So the Beis Hillel said, okay, we'll come up with an equitable solution. Have him work for himself 3 days a week, work for his master 3 days a week. Good. Equitable and Shabbos, Shabbos. That's a nice solution. Comes along Beis Shammai and they say, Tikantam is Rabbo. It's Atzmo lo Tikantam. You fixed it for his master. His master still gets the 3 days of work out of him. But Nebuch, this poor guy, is not going to be able to get married. Because he's not going to be able to marry a Shivcha since he's half Jew, he's half Ben Chorin. He's not going to be able to marry a Jewish girl because he's half Eved, he's never going to be able to get married, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, the Shabbos Yitzhar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world so that we could populate the world. Where's the world going to be populated from him? So it's terrible. So rather, what should you do? So the Beis Shammai forced the other master to free him. Force him to free him. It's not Veira to free an Eved. All of them tavodu. You have a mitzvah to keep an Eved. But we suppose it deals with that kasha also, why we allow him to force. Okay, it's a place to begin a Verichon also for Tafiomi people. So you force the master to free him. So that way, and then he'll pay him back for half his value when he gets a job and he makes some money, he'll pay him back for half his value. So Fractis is, what about, why do you have to force anybody to free anybody? Let him stay Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin and let him marry a Shivcha. It's Naveira because he's Chatzi Ben Chorin, but it's a mitzvah sasei, it's a mitzvah peruvu. So let the mitzvah sasei be docha lo sasei. Very strong kasha. Mitzvah should be docha the lo sasei. That's Tosfos kasha in Maseches Bava Basra. So Tosfos writes in Bava Basra that Puruvu is not docha the isra of lo yeh kaddish because it's not be'idna. They don't come at the same time. The isra is done at the tchilas bia, and they begin to have the bia. The mitzvah is done. I'll leave out what Tosfos says. Let's assume, like the Maseches says, the mitzvah is done when the baby's born. Tosfos doesn't exactly say that way, but let's assume for a second. There are definitely Rishonim that hold that way, that the mitzvah is only done when the baby's already born. So it's not going to be bidna, it's not going to be at the same time. Right? Now, if the Tereven were correct, that every Hechsher mitzvah that's absolutely necessary counts as bidna already, Tereven is obviously against Tosfos. Because in order to get to the point of having a Gemar Bia, which then leads to having a child, you first need to have tchilas bia, which is the avera. So it's a critical step. It's a hechsher mitzvah. It's absolutely necessary. If the Mukhei Yosef is correct, that gufo shel mitzvah, as long as you're also can gufo shel mitzvah, that's good enough for a be'idna. It's against Tosfos also, because gufo shel mitzvah certainly tchilas bia is part of gufo shel mitzvah. It's part of the ma'isa mitzvah. You have to say it's part of the gufo shel mitzvah. So Tos obviously understands not that way also. He obviously understands against that as well. So you have to say that Tosos has a much more limited definition of Be'idna. So maybe, just when all the dust settles, going back to the question that we began with, what's the lumdus of Be'idna? So I forgot your name, Rav Jacobson pointed out as Rabbeinu Chananel in Shabbos Kuflam Zay says, that the lamdus of Be'idna is like we said originally, that if you don't have Be'idna, you might do the Los Asay and never get around to doing the Asay. We pointed out Turi Evan seems against that, Nimukha Yosef seems against that, right? Seems to be against that. Is there another possibility of Be'idna? So just thinking out loud over here, maybe you could tie in that the idea of Be'idna is that if I'm doing an asay, a mitzvah asay, at the very moment that I'm doing a los asay, the los asay loses its shem avera. That as long as I'm being mekayim a mitzvah at that moment, so the shem avera is gone from the los asay. It's no longer called an avera because I'm doing a mitzvah. Be'ikar, what I'm doing is a mitzvah. It happens to be, I happen to be cutting off tzaras by the meal. I happen to be wearing shatnez also. But be'ikar, my mice is labeled as a mice of mitzvah. It's not that we're afraid that you're going to back out on it. I'm never allowed to do a Maisa Avera alone. Asei Docholosei tells me that I'm not doing a Maisa Avera alone. I'm doing Be'ikar a Maisa Mitzvah. And I'm allowed to ignore the fact that there's an Avera involved as long as Be'ikar what I'm doing is a Maisa Mitzvah. So if that's the case, it has nothing to do with the concern that you might back out later on. As long as I can say, when I'm walking into the cemetery, why am I walking in? To do a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. As long as I can say that, so then it's going to be Be'idna. Then it's going to be considered good enough to be Be'idna. That might be the Svara of the Turi Evan and the Mukhe Yosef. It would not work with Tosos. Because Tosos says that Tosos would probably assume our other definition of Be'idna. Tosos probably assume, why does Be'idna work? Because we're afraid you may never get the mitzvah. You could do a Tchilas Bia without the Gemar Bia. And then you'll never get the mitzvah. And if you hold, not like Tosfos, but like the Minchas Chinuch says in Mitzvah Aleph, that the real mitzvah of Pur Ravu is only when the children are born, then it's ganz shayich. It's very, very possible that you're never going to get the mitzvah. Because you could do Bia Achar Bia and still not get the mitzvah, because you have to wait for the Rebbeinu Shlomo to bless you with the opportunity to have the mitzvah of Pur Ravu. Even if you assume that the first child born is already a mitzvah of Pur Ravu. The Gemara, the Machlok Tanoim, but we pass that you need a boy and a girl in order to. But Pashtus is that a person has ten sons, let's say, and he never was zochet to have a daughter. So my family, we had four boys before we had our first girl. So, you know, this is looking iffy there for a little bit. But, you know, if a person, let's say, has ten sons, never zochet to have a daughter, he's going to go up, Lachem Eves and Shana, and they're going to say, you didn't have Peruvu? I had ten children, he bought Shalom. Not Peruvu. So you could argue that every child is a mitzvah of Peruvu. It's just that you're not putter from Peruvu until you have a boy and a girl. So every child being born might be a mitzvah. It's just that you're not putter from the mitzvah until you have a boy. But still, you have no guarantees that you're getting the mitzvah when you do the Avera. So the kids are just to summarize what we did. But I wanted to suggest that there's a machlokas rishonim what the svara of Be'idna is. Is the svar of Be'idna that we're afraid that you might do the Avera and not do the mitzvah, like the Rabbeinu Chananel says? I thought maybe Tosfos Bav Basra holds that svar of Be'idna. And that's why Tosfos Bav Basra says it's not Be'idna if you do a tchila to marry a shivcha when you're a chatzi of a chatzi ben chorin, because you might only do the Avera and you might never get to the mitzvah. Or maybe the svar of Be'idna is something different. And so Rabbeinu Mukayosi seem to understand that it's something different. That it's not just that we're afraid you're never going to do the mitzvah, it's that in order to be allowed to do an Avera, the Maisa has to be labeled as a Maisa Mitzvah. If you can't call this Maisa Mitzvah, then you're never allowed to do an Avera just on its own. To go into a store and steal a Luz and Esrog is not part of my Maisa Mitzvah. It's purely a Maisa Avera. Any Maisa Avera that doesn't have Maisa Mitzvah with it is going to be labeled as Maisa Avera, and that's always Aser. You have to be able to label it as a Maisa Mitzvah, whether it be through the fact that it's a Hechsher that's necessary, whether it be that you call it Gufa Shel Mitzvah, whatever you want to call it, you have to be able to label it as a Maisa Mitzvah. I thank you for your patience and your time, and I apologize for taking you away from your normal morning service.
Yeah.